I know that when the Lord is doing something and the enemy comes in and tells you, oh, you're just one group of people, it's just one prayer, it can't make a difference, that's when you know that you need to pray. Because so often we don't know in the spirit realm what that final prayer is that just breaks through the wall. You know, I think about a big dam and someone who's just continually hammering away and hammering away and hammering away into the world. It looks ridiculous, right? But in the supernatural, nothing is impossible with God, right? And so I always know when the enemy is, because when I'm worshiping, sometimes the enemy starts feeding me things. I'll hear something from the Lord, and it's just like anybody else, you know, we're the same as you guys. And the enemy comes in and he's like, no, don't do that, don't do that. But I've learned over the years, when he says, no, don't do that, he knows something. He can feel it. He may not know exactly what God's doing, but he can feel when a breakthrough's about to come. So those times, that's when I push extra hard, when I hammer my prayers extra hard, when I stand a little bit straighter and say, oh no, devil, uh-uh. No, I'm going to do this. Because he says if two or more agree upon anything they ask for, it will what? It will be done for them by their Father in heaven. Amen? How many people do we have in this room? More than two, right? So we're coming into even more agreement, and there is power when we agree in prayer. So when the devil tells you, oh, don't do that, that's the moment you should, oh, yes, do that. Amen? Amen. We are starting a new series today, and I'm very excited about it. If you have your Bibles, you want to open up to, whoops, let me click. Open up to Genesis 8:22 first. We're going to have a couple verses today. Genesis 8:22. If you don't have your Bibles, you can just read it up there, but it's always good to read it out of the Word. Genesis 8:22. And it says this: while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. One more time. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Say shall not. You know what that means? That means it's not going to. It's going to keep going and going and going. And I love that the Lord gives us different things that we can see in the earth to be able to know the supernatural things are also true. Seed time and harvest. People plant and then they go and they harvest their crops. It's cold. We know it can be cold and it can be hot, right? Still on the earth, still cold and hot. We still have winter and summer, right? And we still have day and night. So we have these very tangible things that we can look at and we can see that God is still true today, just as much as he was when he wrote this in Genesis, or when Moses recorded it in Genesis. And so our series is called Seed Time and Harvest. And I was super excited because I love to learn new things. How many people know that if you're not learning something new, then you're just growing stagnant, right? Even pest control guys can learn something new. Last night I found this bug in our garage, and it was kind of creepy looking. Kind of looked like an ant, but it didn't look like an ant. And so I captured it because I didn't want to just kill it. I wanted to know what it was. Was there more of them? Do we need to do something? You know, that kind of thing. And so I took it into my very knowledgeable pest control husband, and he said, I've seen it before, but I don't know what it is. And so he's so awesome. He didn't just leave it at that. He researched it so that he would know what it was in the future so he could tell people. And that's kind of how I feel about the Word of God, is that we should always be learning something new. If something jumps out at you and you go, I don't know what that means, study it. Find out what it means. What is the Lord really saying? And lately my heart has really been, this was written for Jewish people in a different era. And so a lot of times when we read these things, we don't get the whole meaning of it because we're not Jewish. We don't live in Israel, so we don't have quite the understanding. So we need to dig into God's word and find out what it says. And the very first thing that I wanted to learn about seed time and harvest was, the thing that came out to me is that God will be faithful to his word. Amen. Say that. God will be faithful to his word. Amen. Flip over to your Bibles to Psalm 145, verse 13. Psalm 145, verse 13. And it says this: Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. He's the same. In Hebrews, it says it this way: He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can someone say amen? And I want to tell you something very exciting that I learned. We look at technology and we see how far we have come, and the farmers here don't farm like they used to. How many people know that, right? It's not workers out in a field behind two oxen or two horses. They have machinery now. But the amazing thing is, in fact, the commentator said it was a remarkable fact, that the methods and most of the tools used in growing and harvesting crops in that part of the world by Jerusalem and Israel are almost exactly the same. Wow, that struck me. Of all the technology that we have, that their methods for farming would be the same or close to the same. That's amazing. And again, that struck into my mind. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? When God puts something into motion, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop because of society. It doesn't stop because of the economy. It doesn't stop because of this or that. It keeps going the same. God will be faithful to his word. And what does he say in Genesis? He says there will be seed time and harvest. It won't cease. Say, it won't cease. Now, for a lot of you, you may be planting and planting and planting, but you're not seeing the harvest that you're needing, right? So who do you go to? Do you go to your banker? Do you go to your broker? Do you go to your spouse, maybe, who's doing the finances? No, you need to go to the Lord and ask him, what is it that is holding back my harvest? And over the next couple weeks, we are going to see some exciting things as I was researching what seed time and harvest looked like back in Bible days and what Jesus meant when he said certain things about the former rain and the latter rain and the harvest that they had. Everything in Scripture and everything in history all leads back to one thing. They had to wait on the Lord. They had to rely on him for everything. All the way down to, I'm going to give away tomorrow, next week's, but all the way down to the rain. Everything started with a certain rainfall. And how many people know, I don't care how much you dance outside or how much you pray, who brings the rain? God brings the rain. Again, it all goes back to the Lord. And so I'm super excited about this series, Seed Time and Harvest. We can have the Lord show us if we will pray and ask him, Lord, what is it that's holding back my harvest? It could be something super simple that he asks you to change. Maybe he says, I mean, for me, this is the way I do it. Whenever I get a check, the very first thing underneath my deposit is my tithes. Because I want that out very first thing. Right? And I've always seen a blessing with that, that everything else gets paid for if that comes out first. So maybe that's different for you. Maybe he has some other way that he wants you to do it. Maybe there's something in your life that maybe he needs to enlighten you or show you. Maybe you're using new tools when he really wants you to keep using the ones that you're using before. Or maybe vice versa, you're using the wrong tool. If you'll pray and ask him, he will show you. He will be faithful to his word. And what does his word say? Give and it what? Will be given unto you. Let's say it again. Give and it will be given unto you. But it's not just what we gave, because when it gives back, the rest of that verse says, pressed down, shaking, and running over will it be given back to you. Amen? So if he says promises in his words about your finances, he will be faithful to it. Amen? And as we go through this series, I'm praying and trusting the Lord to just show us and give us some new things that maybe we've never seen before, ways of doing things that we've never seen before, and showing us that seed time and harvest is still the same today, supernaturally and spiritually, in our finances, in our tithes and offerings, just as it was back then. He's the same God. If he provided for his children back then, he will provide for them today. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. And Father, I'm so excited about this new series, Seed Time and Harvest. And what you're showing me in history, Father, and showing me from the way that they did things in the past, God, it, once again, it just proves that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we can trust you. We can rely on you. And I pray this week as we prepare to hear the rest of this series, I pray, Father, that resounding in our hearts and our minds about our finances would be, God will be faithful. God will be faithful. And Father, I pray that you would begin touching our hearts and our minds and opening our eyes to see maybe things that are holding us back, maybe things that we shouldn't be doing or things we should be doing, ways we should be doing it differently. God, you can begin to even move and work in our finances before we even get to the rest of the series, God. And that's what I thank you for today, Lord, is that you are starting a work in us and you will be faithful to complete that work, Father. And Lord, we just pray over every seed that is sown today, Father. We just thank you for a hundredfold harvest. Lord, we call it in from the north, south, east, and the west. Father, we'd have more than enough finances to provide for every need that we have, Father, and then beyond, that we'd be able to give to every good work, that we'd be blessed to be a blessing. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, the lender and not the borrower, the head and not the tail. And we thank you for your faithfulness to your word today, Father. And we just speak it over our finances today and we say, it is done. We are sowing our seed and we are expecting and looking for our harvest in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, stretch out your hands toward these giving nets. Amen. And let's make a declaration of faith over our giving. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, go bring in my harvest from the north, south, east, and west. In the mighty name of Jesus, I receive blessing of God, the wealth and riches of God, debt cancellation, favor, jobs, bonuses, raises, inheritances, benefits, commissions, royalties, buildings, houses, vehicles, education, training, ministries. I receive it all in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. And thank you so much for your faithful giving. Somebody just say, I'm going to keep at it. We're just going to keep at it. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for the beautiful worship today, family. Amen. And the tremendous tithes and offerings message. It's so great to hear the things that Shelly has to share every week. Amen. And thank you for and standing in faith for other people, some of which you aren't, you know, that maybe are not even in the building, but we're believing God to heal their bodies and do mighty things. Well, I want to start with a prayer for our nation again, and we're just continuing to believe God for his perfect plan and will for the U.S. Amen. And so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we dedicate this time to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. Give us hearts to be sensitive. And Lord, we lift up our nation to you. We lift up our leaders, those who are in office, those who are running for office or re-election to office. And we declare, Father, in Jesus' name, that your people, the ones who you've called to be in office, Lord, we declare them in office and those who need to be removed or replaced or not be elected, that that would be the case, Lord. Whether it's a judge, whether it's a congressperson, whether it's the presidency, Lord God, and representatives, school boards, Father God, mayors. We declare the right people in the right places of leadership in the name and by the blood of Jesus. We do pray for them all, Father God. We ask you to heal their bodies, help them, Lord, to see the light, as we would say, Lord, to do what is right and to see the light, Father God. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, last week, this week, and next week, I'm sharing directly from Pastor George Pearson's of Eagle Mountain International Church. That's a place where I plug in regularly, when we really became a ministry of our own and began this church, the Lord really impressed on me that I needed a place to plug in myself, amen? And that's where he's led me to go to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Victory Network, Eagle Mountain International Church, Jesse DePlanis, so many others. But Eagle Mountain is the place where I plug in myself every Sunday morning. I'm in their service online. It works out nice because they're 2 hours ahead of us, right? So I can be in it and hear what's being taught. And I so appreciate the things that he's been teaching in regards to standing up for the values of God, the Word of God in our nation. And so many other ministries and churches and pastors just don't want to touch this stuff because it's political, right? Because it can be divisive or whatever. Amen? But how many know the Bible is a political book, right? It talks about nations rising and nations falling and what builds up a nation and what tears down a nation from the top of the nation to the individual person. Amen. And so we don't need to act like, well, we're the church, we don't get into politics. Well, yes, we actually do. And if you look back in history to when the nation was founded, the ministers were integral in who the nation was back then. Congress people, presidents, judges went to church and listened to the minister. Right? And took note of things that were in the Bible and acted accordingly in their jobs. There was none of this separation of, well, that's my job and that's my faith. No. Amen? And we are at a place right now, if you haven't noticed, all the things that have been going on in our nation this entire year are spiritually reflected of and reflections of what is happening in the spirit realm to the natural. Amen. And the devil is trying his best to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy our country. Take it over. Amen. And so we're blessed to be Americans. We're blessed to be believers in the land of the free. Somebody say land of the free. Home of the brave. This is not time to back down and be cowards and hide and act like it doesn't matter or I don't care, this kind of stuff. No, we stand in faith. We stand for Jesus. We stand for children. We stand for what is right. Amen. It doesn't mean we hate people who don't, right? But I don't embrace their values, right? I don't act like the things that they're saying are okay. Man, Pastor George was talking about today. I'm going to post it on Facebook about this so-called Equality Act. It's just a blatant attack on religious liberty, is what it is. In many's minds, how we give altar calls and that people can come get saved in the church. In many's minds, there should also be an LGBT whatever Q, how does it, LGBT, whatever they say, TQ pastor. Now, whoever wants to get born again, whoever wants to be this, you can see this pastor. Somebody say, not in a million years. Not on my watch. Amen. These are things people need to be freed from, not embraced and drawn into and acting like it's all okay. But see, when the church started doing things like, well, drinking's okay. That's okay. It's beer 30. Church is over, man. Oh, living with somebody you're married to, it's all right. There's grace for that. Since there is no line, no boundary, they can freely take this ground too. Because if we're not getting up and saying what sin is and what righteousness is, then it does come across as hate speech. Well, hey, so-and-so's on your staff and they smoke weed. You see what I'm saying? Man, the pastors are going out for drinks afterwards. Well, what do you care about this way of life we all should be embracing? Somebody say lies. Lies. The church needs to be about the business of the kingdom of God and pointing people to Jesus. Jesus did not come preaching, embrace everything. No, he came saying, R-E-P-E-N-T, six letters. Repent! What time is it, church? Time, somebody say, time to repent. And we all have things the Lord will help us to repent of in our own lives, right? But goodness gracious, we don't get into embracing the philosophies of this world and incorporating them into the church. Amen? Well, today, I want to look at Pastor George's message entitled, Where Do You Stand on Supporting Israel? Okay? And this is from his message on Sunday, September 20th, 2020. You can download them if you go to Eagle Mountain International Church, and there's a place for downloads, and you can actually download these very notes that I'm going to go over with you. Amen? And several others that are along the same lines. Amen? Hallelujah. But Proverbs 29, verse 2 is the foundation text, so if you want to turn there, you can. Or I'm just going to read it to you. But it's a good, it's why we bring our Bibles, to turn to it. Amen? In fact, I'm just going to, even though I have it in my notes, I'm going to turn to it. I'm going to be an example and turn to Proverbs, the book of wisdom, chapter 29 and verse 2. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah. We need to be smarter than the devil. The devil knows what's in the Bible too, and he uses it to lie to people. Amen. Isn't that the oldest lie in the book, in the book of Genesis, where he comes to Eve and he says, "Yeah, did God really say that? Is that really what he meant? Do not eat of the fruit of the tree, or you will surely die." Well, you know really why he said that is because he doesn't want you to have any fun. He doesn't want you to be like him, knowing good and evil. And there wasn't anything supernatural about that tree, except that there was a command regarding it. This tree is mine. That was Adam and Eve's tithe. You don't touch my stuff. So when they did, it opened up for guilt and condemnation and sin and death and all this stuff that's been going on in our planet for a long time. Amen? And Jesus broke its power, didn't he? Amen? But Proverbs 29, verse 2 says this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And Pastor George goes into these three points here. He says, who are the righteous and who are the wicked? The righteous acknowledge, and here's the difference, the righteous acknowledge God and his word, right? The wicked ignore God and his word. So we're not talking about perfect people. If you haven't noticed, our president is not a perfect human being. Amen. And neither are you and neither am I. Amen. But we serve a perfect Savior. Amen. But he does acknowledge God and his word. And others do not, right? So that's the difference. The wicked ignore God and his word. Or try to twist it and use it against people. Make it say something it is not saying. Amen? That is why it's so important to study the party platforms, Pastor George says. We are able to identify where each party stands on specific issues. We compare them to what the Bible says about those issues. We are then able to determine which platform best aligns with how the kingdom of God operates. So that's why we have this picture up on the wall here. These people standing on a platform. And the Democrats have a platform, and the Republicans have a platform, and they are different. Amen. the values that they push and the agendas that they're promoting are different. Okay? Amen. This is not rocket science. But he says this, we must pay attention to the platforms. First of all, God knows what is on those platforms. He's read them, and he'll hold us accountable to them. Secondly, they are written by we the people. They are representatives from every state in the union. From the abundance of their hearts, the parties speak. Thirdly, politicians will be making their decisions on our behalf based on the platform they embrace and stand on. The platform is the driving agenda for all legislation. It is what they are going to push to accomplish over the next 4 years and beyond. And last week we talked about the platform stances, the differences on the issue of abortion. Amen? So you can't take the abortion plank out of there just because your union votes for this guy because he's this or that. He's also, as a Democrat or a Republican, that's the pro-choice or the pro-life. You can't just separate it because they you like this about him, but they also embrace the philosophy of this or that. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. But he goes on, he says, what does the Democratic Party stand on? Where does the Democratic Party, first of all, stand on supporting Israel? This is very important. Amen? And again, with a lot of these things, it almost doesn't matter if we completely understand it all. Why is God so interested in Israel? He always has been. They're his chosen people. Amen? It's his chosen nation. So it's not important that I understand the whys of all of that. It's just important that I understand, do not touch it. Like the Garden of Eden with the Tree of Life. That's comparative to Israel today. Don't touchy Israel. If I do touchy, I will be cursy. I might be deady. Just look at history. Ask Adolf Hitler. And others, right, who have come against the nation of Israel. Didn't turn out good. Amen? So it's important that politicians that go into office understand this on both parties. Because there's been Republicans that do these things because they've been taught that the church has replaced Israel in God's heart. Somebody say, no, no. Israel is still God's chosen people. Amen. This is important, an important concept to get, right? But on page 91, the Democratic Party platform says this. Democrats believe a strong, secure, and democratic Israel is vital to the interests of the United States. Our commitment to Israel's security is qualitative, military edge, its right to defend itself, and the 2016 Memorandum of Understanding is ironclad. Democrats recognize the worth of every Israeli and every Palestinian. Uh-oh. Somebody say, oh, wait, hold. Time out, right? That's why we will work to help bring an end to a conflict which has brought so much pain to so many. We support a negotiated two-state solution that ensures Israel's future as a Jewish and democratic state with recognized borders and upholds the right of Palestinians to live in freedom and security in a viable state of their own. They go on, Democrats oppose any unilateral steps by either side, including annexation, that undermine prospects of two states. Democrats will continue to stand against incitement and terror. We oppose settlement expansion. Amen. Enough said, right? Now the Republican Party. Where does the Republican Party stand on supporting Israel? But just in case there's any, you know, confusion on that, a two-state thing is not what God's plan is for Israel. Share your land with Palestinians, many of which who want to kill you. Give money to Palestinians who want to kill Israel, and the U.S., by the way. Somebody say, no, man, no. So the Republican Party stand on supporting Israel is this from page 47 from their platform. Like the United States of America, the modern state of Israel is a country born from the aspiration for freedom and stands out among the nations as a beacon of democracy and humanity. Beyond our mutual strategic interests, Israel is likewise an exceptional country that shares our most essential values. It is the only country in the Middle East where freedom of speech and freedom of religion are found. Therefore, support of Israel is an expression of Americanism, and it is the responsibility of our government to advance policies that reflect Americans' strong desire for a relationship with no daylight between America and Israel. We recognize Jerusalem as the eternal, indivisible capital of the Jewish states and call for the American embassy to be moved there in fulfillment of U.S. law. Amen. And Pastor George puts this note in here. On May 14th, 2018, the United States officially opened their embassy in Jerusalem, 70 years to the day that President Harry Truman recognized Israel as a state. That was a remarkable moment in history. When our president, President Trump, officially did something that Israel was promised for years would be done, but never was, moving the U.S. Embassy, I think it was in Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem, which is a statement that we support Israel, not Palestinians. Amen. It's not this, we're on the fence about everything. No, we're on Israel's side. Huge statement of support to Israel. Amen. And he goes on, the platform goes on. We reaffirm America's commitment to Israel's security and will ensure that Israel maintains a qualitative military edge over any and all adversaries. Somebody say hallelujah, right? We support Israel's right and obligation to defend itself against terror attacks upon its people and against alternative forms of warfare upon it legally, economically, culturally, and otherwise. That's another big difference I've noticed between the Republican and Democratic Party, is the Republican Party is not afraid to say something is a terrorist thing. The Democratic Party wants to just, no. This is, just somebody doing what they feel like they want to do. No. If it's a terrorist action, we need to call, it's a security issue. Have you noticed around town here, just in this general part of the country, there's been a public safety crisis for a long time. People told it's okay to live in tents and do drugs and do violent acts on the streets. And, it's just, amen. I have a good friend in the police department who says, you know what, we could fix this tonight. But there's no leader that will rise up and say, do it. This is democratic leadership in action in this region. That's why you and me are here to be light and salt, amen, and pray, amen? Praise the Lord. And they go on, we reject the false notion that Israel is an occupier and specifically recognize the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is anti-Semitic in nature and seeks to destroy Israel. Therefore, we call for effective legislation to thwart actions that are intended to limit commercial relations with Israel or persons or entities doing business in Israel or in Israeli-controlled territories in a discriminatory manner. And he adds a note here, as of 2020, 32 state legislators have passed bills similar to the Israel Anti-Boycott Act, which is still in Congress. Anti-Israel legislation. The U.S. seeks to assist in the establishment of comprehensive and lasting peace in the Middle East to be negotiated among those living in the region. We oppose any measures intended to impose an agreement or to dictate borders, right, or other terms. And we call for the immediate termination of all U.S. funding of any entity that attempts to do so. Our party is proud to stand with Israel now and always. So again, they're saying, don't touch the land. If anything, there's more land for them. Amen? Well, now we've heard the Republican and Democratic platforms on these issues. So how many, all of this comes down to what's the Bible say? Amen? Not how do I feel about it? What gets my blood pumping? No, no. What's the Word of God say? That's what we have to remember in times like this, is get past the emotion of it, the offense of it, the whatever the news is saying about it or so-and-so says about this. Just get down to what's the Word of God say and act accordingly. Vote accordingly, right? Well, this is a beautiful picture that I got on Google, and it's a picture of the, I searched out U.S. Embassy moves to Jerusalem, and this is one of the things that came up, and I wanted something with both flags together, amen? This is not a statement that the United States is taking over Israel. The Israel flag is higher. This is just saying, we're with you, Israel, amen? Right in Jerusalem, that's in Jerusalem, the city. But Genesis 12:3 says this. This is God speaking. I will bless those who bless you, talking about Israel. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Amen. Now, like Shelley was teaching earlier, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we just need to realize this promise applies to today. Amen? Or whatever today is that you're listening to this message, right? Genesis 17:7 in the NIV 84 says this, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant. Somebody say everlasting covenant. Between you and me and you and your descendants after you for the generation to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan. Somebody say the whole land. Don't be chopping up the land, right? Where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Amen. And it's so beautiful when you look at prophetic words about Jews returning to Israel. Jews are returning to Israel. It's part of the end times that we're in, okay? So it's a beautiful thing that God has said here. Isaiah 41:11-12. Couple more. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. Now, it's not smart to pick a fight with God. Amen. So, and it's also good to remember as the U.S., you know, we've been blessed and God has done so many great things with our country, but to remember it's not Israel that needs us. It's actually us who needs Israel. We want God on our side. Amen. Zechariah 2:8 says this in the Amplified Classic, for thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory had sent me his messenger to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you, talking about Israel, touches the apple or pupil of his eye. Now, back in my drama days when I was doing more acting, they would sometimes have to put makeup around my eyes. I hated it. That was my least favorite part when they were doing eyeliner stuff around my eyes for whatever I was acting. I wasn't dressing up like a woman, just to clarify. It's 2020. Okay. But I was acting as Doc from Back to the Future or whatever I was doing. And they had to do stuff around my eyelashes, and I just hated that. I still do. If Shelley needs to do something with my eyebrows or something, I'll take it for maybe two or three seconds and then get it away from my eye. Well, God says, if you touch Israel, you might as well be coming with a knife to the apple of my eye. I'm going to stop you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And finally, Joel 3, verse 2 in the Amplified says this, I will gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there I will deal with and execute judgment upon them for their treatment of my people and my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations because they have divided my land. Don't divide his land. And we can look to the end of the book of Revelation and see clearly that this isn't over yet. There's still nations that will hate Israel till they are, not all the people in those nations, but leadership and so forth, just will hate Israel until they die. till they die, not Israel, till they die, come to attack Israel, lights out. I mean, not a good idea to touch Israel. Well, Pastor George continues with this. We'll close with this. A stern warning to both parties concerning Israel. Okay? There is a direct connection between U.S. Middle East policy decisions and catastrophic events. This is documented stuff. In his book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel, author William Coing has documented numerous connections between catastrophic events and the treatment of Israel. This will get your hair standing up a little bit. One major example is the evacuation of Israelis from the Gaza Strip in Hurricane Katrina. Coing, World Watch Daily, watch.org website, the incredible parallels between Israel and the U.S. evacuations. Here's the documented thing. On August 22nd, 2005, President Bush, who I love, I voted for. But see, not everybody, again, is taught that Israel is still God's chosen people. Many are taught, even in the church, that the church is replacing Israel. Oh no. Somebody say, oh no. Right? So it says this, on August 22nd, 2005, President Bush honors veterans of foreign wars at the National Convention in Salt Lake City, and he says this, quote, "In the heart of the Middle East, a hopeful story is unfolding. After decades of shattered promises and stolen lives, peace is within the reach of the Holy Land. The Palestinian people have expressed their desire for sovereignty and peace in free and fair elections. This past week, Prime Minister Sharon and the Israeli people took a courageous and painful step by beginning to remove settlements in Gaza and parts of the West Bank. The Israeli disengagement is an historic step that reflects the bold leadership of Prime Minister Sharon. We are providing $50 million in direct assistance to the Palestinians for new housing and an infrastructure projects in Gaza." Somebody say yikes. Well, here we go. Israel's disengagement, evacuation, and eviction began Wednesday, August 17th, and ended on Tuesday, August 23rd. This is 2005. On Tuesday afternoon, August 23rd, when? August 23rd, right? Tropical Depression 12 formed. By 11 a.m. on Wednesday, August 24th, the newly formed Tropical Depression was upgraded to Tropical Storm Katrina. By 5 p.m. on Thursday, August 25th, Katrina became a hurricane. On Friday, August 26th, Hurricane Katrina hit southeast Florida. By Monday, August 29th, Katrina had become a fierce and enormous Category 4 hurricane that hit Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, devastating the city of New Orleans. It is now being called the largest natural disaster in U.S. history. And we went down and did some relief for that along the Mississippi Gulf Coast and other areas. And I mean, this is 6 months later we went, and there were still National Guard checkpoints. Blackouts. And then when we went 2 years ago to Jesse's conference, it was so beautiful to drive through the Mississippi Gulf Coast and see everything restored and see marinas and houses. And it was just devastated, man. It was unbelievable. But this is a serious matter here, right? On Wednesday, August 17th, 2005, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon authorized the mandatory evacuation of residents refusing to evacuate Gaza. On Wednesday, September 7, 2005, New Orleans Mayor Ray Najin ordered the mandatory evacuation of the crippled Crescent City. Soldiers had to force out some of the holdouts. Israeli settlers stated that the Gaza and Samaria evictions will go down as the worst abandonment of Jews in history and the largest forced evacuation in Israel's history. Katrina has resulted in the largest mass migration and evacuation in U.S. history. 9,000 Israelis were evicted by their government. 1 million Americans were evicted by Hurricane Katrina. At the same time Israelis were going homeless in the Gaza Strip, Americans were going homeless in the U.S. Somebody say, duh. right? The current governing authority over the Gaza Strip is Hamas. It is a terrorist organization who refuses to recognize the state of Israel, whose charter calls for the total destruction of Israel. Amen. And this is just one example in history, recent history, of actions taken negatively toward Israel resulting in judgment. Amen. That's not saying God is lower than the hammer. It's a spiritual law, like gravity. If you step off a cliff, you're going to fall, right? The wages of sin is death. If you touch Israel, curse. Amen? So this is why right now, as we're voting, amen? And it is so cool to me to think that, because, you know, these are somber, heavy topics, but it's good for the church to be aware of these things. Amen? And it is so cool to be like, in our household, I have two kids that are now voting age. And instead of two envelopes delivered to my house, I had four. And guess what? They know the truth. And they are going to be voting. How cool is that? Amen? That God's kingdom is rising up. Now, one thing I did hear from a congresswoman who was on Believer's Voice of Victory this past week. She shared, reminded people to try to avoid mailing in your ballot because there are multiple issues with possible tampering when you mail in your ballot. Now, if you do, you know, let God lead you, but I'd recommend you take it and drop it off in the box. If it's sent to your home, fill it out, then drive it 3 minutes to your library or whatever it is, and put it in the box yourself. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Well, let's stand. We're gonna close in prayer. Thanks for the few extra minutes there. Somebody say, God loves Israel. And so do we. And so do we. Amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. Just lift your hands and praise the Lord. Just thank Jesus that He's alive. He's overcome all of these things. And we declare by faith that Jesus Christ is Lord over this nation. And that leaders are going to be in office that act accordingly with your word, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Father God, we do thank you for the mighty works you're doing. I've heard prophetic words that we are in the midst of a rebirth of our nation. Hallelujah. A rebirth of what morality is. A rebirth of what truth and lie is. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let it be reflected, God, in this election where America stands. Let it be, Father God, as Shelley and I were talking, so significant that there's no point in anyone arguing about, well, we better recount. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the rebirth of this nation, the rebirth of righteousness, of love for God, acknowledging God, serving God, respecting God, and choosing God. From the White House to our house, and across this nation, Father God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for those who are not on your side, that their hearts would be touched, that they would repent for the filth that they're pushing on children. That they would wake up, Father God, and repent and come to Jesus and be saved. Because hell is an awful place. Hallelujah. Maybe you're listening to this message later online or by CD, and you're just saying, you know what? I need right now to make sure I'm going to heaven someday. I'm not sure if I died this very moment, if I would go to heaven. Well, let's take care of that right now. All you do is you come to Jesus and you accept what he did for you as a sacrifice for your sin. When he died on the cross and rose again from the grave, that was for you. He took your punishment on himself. So you don't have to go out there and try to fix yourself. You just fix your eyes on Jesus and what he's done for you. Just pray this prayer after me. Let's all pray this together. Just say, Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I don't make excuses for my sins. I ask you to forgive me of them all and cleanse me with your blood. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you're coming back to Jesus, find a church near you that preaches the Word of God, that preaches God's Word. And get your Bible out, begin reading it every day. Check out, search out on the web, Go Victory. It's a great network that will build you up. Come see us if you're in the Portland, Vancouver area, and we'll welcome you in. Praise God forevermore. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day, everybody.